On the day I arrive on the shores of Chaohai, where the Wu River begins, it is overcast and bitterly cold. Recently, a small building has been constructed on the shores of the lake. It is the new ranger station of the reserve. The rock foundations have been built up high, and it stands in isolation in this vast stretch of swampland. The little road to it is nothing more than slushy, soft mud. The lake has receded a considerable distance, but what was once lake still has a few sparse reeds growing here and there. I go up the stone stairs at the side of the building, where there are several rooms with the windows open and plenty of natural light. Specimens of birds, fish, and crawling insects are piled up everywhere. The chief ranger is a large man with a broad face. He plugs in the electric heater, makes tea in a big enamel pot, sits on the heater, and invites me to warm myself and have some tea. He says 10 or so years ago, for several hundred kilometers around this high plateau lake, the mountains were covered in forests. 20 years ago, the thick black forests came to the shores of the lake and people often encountered tigers. Now these bald hills have been stripped bare, and there is a shortage of firewood for cooking, not to mention heating. Especially during the past 10 years, spring and winter have become intensely cold. Frost comes early, and in spring there are severe droughts. During the Cultural Revolution, the new County Revolutionary Committee resolved to implement a new initiative, draining off the water and converting it into fields. They mobilized 100,000 civilian workers from the county, blasted scores of drainage channels, and built retaining walls to reclaim this part of the lake for cultivation. But it wasn't so easy to dry out a lake bed which had been saturated for several million years. That year, there was a tornado over the lake, and the locals said the black dragon of Chaohai couldn't stay and had flown away. The lake is now only one-third of what it used to be, and the surrounding area is all swampland which defies drying off or being restored to its original state. A powerful telescope has been installed at the window, and the water several kilometres away is a dazzling white expanse through the lens. What the naked eye sees as a slight shadow turns out to be a boat. Two people are standing at the prow, but their faces are indistinct. Another at the stern is moving about and seems to be casting a net. It's impossible to guard such a large area of lake. By the time you get there, they'll have slipped off long ago, he says. Are there plenty of fish in the lake? I ask. It's easy to haul in hundreds and thousands of catties of fish. The problem is they're still using explosives. People are so greedy, it's hopeless. He is the chief ranger of the reserve, and he is shaking his head. He says that during the 1950s, a man with an overseas PhD came here voluntarily from Shanghai, all full of enthusiasm. He brought along with him 4 biology and marine life graduates and set up a wildlife breeding station on the shores of Chaohai, where he successfully bred koipu, ermine, speckle-headed geese, and several species of fish and aquatic birds. However, he offended some peasant poachers, and one day when he was passing a cornfield, he was ambushed and blindfolded. They tied a basket of corn around his neck, accused him of stealing the corn, and beat him until he coughed up blood. The county committee cadres wouldn't stand up for an intellectual, and the old man died without regaining consciousness. The breeding station disbanded, and the koipu were divided amongst the various units of the county committee and eaten.